But I won't talk. My sermon title is Only 364 More Days Until Christmas. I hope Christmas was not with you the kind where you sigh a sigh of relief yesterday morning and say, well, I'm glad that thing is over for another year. Well, a lot of times Christmas really gets on your nerves and really gets to the point where you wish it would hurry up and get over with. Christmas has a hard time living up to the expectations of all the things that are said about it in Christmas cards and by the children and by various other people. It seldom turns out to be as grand and as glorious as we had hoped it would way back there in January. I guess children are about the only ones who begin counting the days just as soon as the last present's open. They already begin to count, well, now, next Christmas is coming up. The parents don't ever seem to look forward to it quite that quickly. Have you ever noticed that just about every Christmas card has the phrase in it, the greeting, we wish you a Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas. I never gave much thought to the word Merry. What does it mean? Look in the dictionary, and it means filled with fun and laughter. I don't know whether your Christmas was filled with fun and laughter, but I do hope that it was a joyful time. It also means jolly. And I guess that Christmas time of all times of the year should be that time when we really go all out to be happy and to be jolly. I guess the best definition of the word merry would be just a day of total happiness. I don't know whether you had a day of total happiness or not. I hope you did. I doubt if very few realize that goal. I doubt if a day of total happiness is even possible. But I got to thinking about Christmas. I always do on Christmas Day and try to take stock of what goes through my mind and how I react to the various things that take place that are routine every Christmas. I had some serious thoughts and I just want to share them with you this morning. But I get the feeling that we are all geared to the thinking that things bring happiness. Now, Christmas is supposed to be merry and it's supposed to be joyful. What is there about Christmas that is supposed to bring me the merriment, bring me the laughter, bring me the joy, and bring me the happiness? What is there about Christmas that's so great? You know, we might eat a few things we don't normally eat throughout the year, but Thanksgiving, we ate the same thing this Christmas. We ate Thanksgiving. The meal didn't change much. What is the difference about Christmas Day from any other day? Well, the only thing that can come to my mind is the presents. That's it. We get all those various gifts, and we operate on the theory that Christmas is so great because we get so many new gifts that we did not plan to get, or maybe we did plan to get, and we had to wait until that day to get them. I think Christmas is really a disappointment if that's all we look at it as being, a day when we get some gifts that we'd like to have. To begin with, and this Christmas was an exception for us, everything we bought that was supposed to work, worked. Usually something doesn't work that you buy. I know a lot of things my wife got that didn't fit. Now, that may not be the clothes' fault, but anyway, they just didn't fit. She knows I'm joking, but anyway. But you always get something, you see, that precious gift ends up sort of with a little bit of a sour fringe on the edge of it. It didn't work, or it doesn't fit right, or it doesn't look quite as good as I thought it would look on me, or it's the wrong size, or it's the wrong color, or it's the wrong model number, and we're just a little bit disappointed. Now, sometimes everybody gets something at Christmas that's just a little bit of a letdown. It didn't turn out to be as great as I thought it would. And then again, at Christmas, I'm always reminded, and maybe I'm worse at this than most average people, I hope so, but almost as soon as all the presents are unwrapped and you look at them, I tire of them. Just that quick. Now, children and toys are different, I guess. But I mean things, a shirt's a shirt. I mean, well, it's green, blue, purple, black. A shirt's a shirt. It's got two arms and a few buttons. I mean, a shirt's a shirt. And I've seen enough shirts that they really don't thrill me. Maybe if I didn't have but one, I'd get a great thrill of it. Maybe that's the secret of happiness at Christmas. Don't have anything and you get something, that's great. And pants that all have two legs on them, you know. And they all are the same thing. And ties, they haven't changed them since I've been on this earth, you know. Few colors have changed, but I mean they still hang from the neck. Nothing's different about a tie. And so I soon tire, and maybe other people don't, but I soon tire very quickly of finding happiness and a lasting joy. They can't even last me for 24 hours. Now, maybe I'm really odd in this. I hope I am, you know. I'm not a Christmas Scrooge, but things just don't please me. Up to the moment I get them, I can't live without them. But the moment I get them, I wonder why I ever wanted it in the first place. That's just my nature. And so Christmas time, I'm reminded time and again, I got a lot of the things that I wanted, practically everything that I wanted. What I want it for anyone. You know, there it is. I enjoy it for a few minutes. And I can enjoy it again for a few minutes. I can enjoy the shirt when I wear it. But in the meantime, I mean, the thing itself does not bring a lasting joy to me. And I sense that this is one of the major flaws in the whole Christmas season is we major far more on possessions than we do on persons. To me, that's the great mistake of Christmas that we make. And it's the wrong thing for us to do, but yet it seems we're geared that way by all the commercialism. The whole idea behind gift-giving has always been said to be, well, I give gifts because I care about the people I give the gifts to. And how else can you show that you care about people besides giving them some kind of a gift? I think that, again, is a very bad misconception. And yet we seem to have this, and Christmas bears this out. We say, I like you, and the reason I like you, I never tell you. But I'm going to give you a gift, and that means I like you. And you can figure out all the rest of it. I believe that's the whole point that we miss at Christmas time. Everything about the real person's value gets lost in all the Christmas wrappings and all the packages and all the presents. And we end up with a lot more packages than we ever end up with a lot more care, one for the other. You know, Christmas doesn't change very many things at all. You ever stop thinking about that? Oh, it may change the way that you dress because you have a few new items to put on. It may change the way you dry your hair. You may got a new hair dryer. It may change the way that you spend some leisure time. You got a new golf club or you got this thing or that thing that you can go out and spend some time with. Or it may change the way you cook a meal. You may got yourself some new cookingware. I don't know. Or it may change the way you clean a room. Maybe you got your new vacuum cleaner. Maybe you got a maid out of Christmas. But these kind of things, yes, it changed, but usually it leaves the people unchanged. Really. You ever stop thinking about that? Presents don't change people. If you're lonely before Christmas, you're lonely after Christmas. Presents didn't change them. If you're depressed before Christmas, you're depressed after Christmas. Especially when the bills come in, you see. If you're overweight before Christmas, you're sure overweight after Christmas, you know. People don't change. If you're nervous before Christmas, you're nervous after Christmas. And so the people themselves are not much better off as a result of the gift giving. You see, it doesn't put an end to the things we'd really like to see change in our lives and in our families. I found that Christmas presents didn't end children's arguing. It never does. It never does. They still argue just as much as they ever did. They got a lot more stuff to still argue. Still can't agree on who gets what in whose room. That's the way it was before they got it. That didn't change a bit. May change your financial status. Maybe somebody gave you some money. It may change your closet space, but did it change you? And I think that's where the real meaning of Christmas has been lost to a lot of us. We've been geared to thinking that possessions are more important than persons. We get the idea, I'm of no real value. I had the thought the other day, what if you wrapped yourself up in Christmas paper? I want to show you how it's, the point I'm going to, you wrapped yourself up and put a bow around yourself and said, family, I'm giving myself to you. The best gift you could ever have. They'd probably put you out of the house. Really, they'd probably put you out of the house. And Christmas time is not the time to experiment with the motto, it's not the gift that counts, it's the sentiment. Not at Christmas time. You may try that on some other occasion, but not at Christmas time. But why not? Isn't that really what we deep down want at Christmas time? And any other time of the year? What's more important? You are your presence. Have you convinced your family that the presents are more important than you are? That's saving. That's really saving. I think our whole economy has ruined us here. How valuable are you to your family? Really, man. Would they miss you or would they miss your presence? That's what we're talking about. Now, I had the thought before Christmas came, and I hadn't told anybody about this, so it would be all news for my family. I was sitting out in my office, sitting there thinking about Christmas gifts. Everything had been bought that ought to buy and should have bought. Well, I shouldn't have bought, I guess. And I was through with the shopping, you know. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to get me 3 Christmas cards. And for the first time in my life, I'm going to write in those 3 cards what I want to say to my 3 children. And I'm going to put in there that I love them more than anything in all the world. And of all the gifts they could give me, their own personal presence in our family is the greatest gift that I could ever have. Really now. So I went on of all the things that I was proud of them, and I was going to write all 3 of my children these little Christmas cards. And then I thought to myself, they'll get that, they'll look at that, and it'll be worthless. What good is that? Oh, if I'd have put a silver dollar in there, you see, that'd be worse than that. And so I didn't write those 3 cards, but you know, I wished I had them. It had made me feel better about Christmas. It had made me more merry, and it had been something that I would have remembered. Because, you see, I think that's the valuable thing about the Christmas season. It's not that I could give my children presents, but I give my children me. And my children give me themselves. And I think that is the most important thing in all the world about Christmas. On Christmas Eve, my wife and I and the family drove into Houston. She got all upset about the thought, well, maybe somebody will break into the house and going to steal all of our presents. So I told her before she left, I said, if you feel that way, let me go into town, you stay home. Well, we drove all the way into town. Well, we got the first store, so let's go back home. And that didn't make me be happy. I said, well, why didn't you tell me that all the way back there? So we came on back home. Well, I thought to myself, so you lost all your presents. I don't want to lose all my friends. I'm not saying you're inviting all you folks to come over and rob the house, you know. But I'm saying, so you lost all your presents. Is that the most important thing about Christmas? Would that have completely ruined Christmas? To an extent, yes. To a real extent, no. You still had each other. You can always go out to the insurance company and get some more presents. And if not, you can do without the presents. But you can't do without each other. What I'm saying is I think there needs to be a re-emphasis of just plain old Christian sentimentality at Christmas time. Of caring one for the other and expressing, not in a gift, but just saying, maybe for the first time in your life, children, I love you. Gifts are no gifts. I just love you. And I think this has been missing in our Christmases for years. The gift that y'all give me always bothers me. I never say anything about it, but it always bothers me. Do you give me a gift because you love me or because somebody comes and puts the pressure on you and you feel embarrassed if you don't and you are noted as a preacher that's like me? That always bothers me. I would rather the people not give a dime and just come and say, Billy, we love you. And I'd like to believe, you know, the gift that I get from y'all says this. But I never know if all the money that we get comes from all the people who would be willing to say, Billy, I love you. I'd rather have this, you see, than to have the money, and have the money and not have the other. I don't believe you can substitute gifts for that real sentimentality, that real concern that ought to be shown and shared at Christmas time. I really don't. And I think this is one of the great letdowns about the whole Christmas season. We've never understood the value of the person. As I thought about this, God sent a Christmas card. One day God got to thinking, I'd just like to send a Christmas card down to earth and tell those people, no gifts involved, I'm not going to give them anything. I just want to tell them that I love them. I like their presence. I like to be around them. I like to be with them. I just want to tell them that, nothing else. And you know what he did? That Christmas card is the same one you get. It's got a little manger in it. It's got a little baby in there. And brethren, God didn't give you nothing at Christmas. You stop and think about it. He didn't give you anything. Now, at Calvary, he gave you salvation. That's right. It took Calvary to get your salvation for you. But what did he give you at Christmas? All he gave you was what? A baby. What was the baby's name? Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel mean? God is with us. God said, I want to just come down and be with you. That make me happy. Just to be with you. And for you to be with me. That's enough. I'm not going to give you anything else. And you know, the people didn't really like that gift. Just his presence. That wasn't enough. People, don't you realize that God is far greater than all his gifts? During the days of Jesus upon this earth, the people that came to him, they came for gifts, never realizing that he himself was far more precious than all his gifts. And I think the Lord still comes and he says, I'm more important than the gifts. All the gifts are wonderful and I know they bring you some happiness, but just me, just my presence, that is the greatest thing that I know to give you. If we could only capture this in our minds and begin to realize that persons and not possessions are what's so important for all of us. The wise men's star, I guess it's gone. The shepherds have all gone back to their sheep and the manger's been deserted. You and I begin to put away all the reminders of Christmas 1976. If you had a manger scene, it's probably back in the closet. The tree will soon be on the garbage dump. The decorations and the unused wrapping paper and the unused Christmas cards will soon be stuck back in some closet. What are you going to do with Jesus? No? What are you going to do with the Lord? God is with us. This very morning, God is with you. You can't go home this morning without him. Because you see, he says, I want to be with you. I don't care about you. So you gave some money. I appreciate it. But I care more about just being with you than I do about your money. I don't want to substitute gifts for you. We don't comprehend, you see, God just wanting to be with us. You are worth more than you think you are, people. You are more valuable to somebody's happiness than you think you are. I think we underrate ourselves here. God really likes to be with you. He likes to be with me. And he wants us to like to be in his presence. We need to understand this. Now, Christmas time comes, but how many of us really include him at this time? How many of us ever think about him on Christmas Day? I couldn't give Christ a gift at Christmas. I couldn't even see him. But he was there. But I could say, I'm glad. I don't have to say it out loud. I'm glad you're here, Christ. You're as welcome as anybody in this house is welcome. It wouldn't be Christmas without you. You are more important than all these gifts. We could lose them all, but we don't want to lose you. I mean, that's all he wants to hear. And that's more important, you see, than a gift. You could wrap up all the gifts you want to and put them on the tree for Jesus. But that's the gift he wants. He doesn't walk and talk with gifts. He walks and talks with you. When God created Adam, he brought down himself. And he says he walked and talked with Adam in the garden. Why? He just liked to. He enjoyed persons and not possessions. God doesn't need possessions. He can make a million worlds like this in a few minutes. But he wants people. I think that's the great thing about Christmas. Moses, when he led the Israelites out of Egypt, came to the promised land. On the way to the promised land, he came to Mount Sinai, and he went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And while he was up there, he stayed longer than the people down on below the mountain top thought he ought to. And so they went back to their old ways, and they took up some gold and made them an old gold calf, and they bowed down and they worshiped. Moses came down from the mountain, saw what was going on, broke the Ten Commandments, and he knew good and well that God was going to really be angry, and that the people of Israel were in grave danger of extinction right there, that God would just wipe them off the face of the earth, what they were doing. And so Moses went to God in prayer and says, please do not kill the people. If you're going to destroy the people, destroy me too. Now, you see, there's identification. Moses said, those people are important to me. I mean, they are wrong, they're doing them, but they're important to me. And I want to intercede for them. And so God, the Bible says, okay, he granted the prayer request to Moses, I will not destroy the Israelites, and I will therefore send an angel to lead them to the promised land. And Moses did not like God's answer. And Moses said, angel's all right. You know, I don't have anything against an angel. Now, God gave him a gift. You see, God said to Moses, I want to give you a gift. Now, that gift's going to be an angel. And that angel's going to lead you. You got your name. You got your gift now. And Moses said, I don't want that gift. You know, there's something I want more than that. And I tell you what, God, if you won't give me the gift I want, then I don't want to go. What's that, Moses? I want your presence. If you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go at all. Now, that's it. And you know what God said to Moses? My presence shall go with you. My presence shall go with you. Jesus took great comfort in the fact that when his disciples left him, in John 16:32, it says, the disciples all left him, and Jesus said, but my Father hadn't left me. My Father hadn't left me. I rejoice in his presence. And that's all Jesus had, you see, was the presence of the Father. Jesus, during his lifetime, didn't have many Christmas gifts, did he? Didn't have many possessions, but he had a great person with him. And that's what he majored on. The presence of his Father. There's only 360 more days until Christmas, that is, until the Christmas gifts will again be passed out. But in the meantime, you have the presence of Christ with you every one of those days. Now, that's more important. That's more important. Look at Matthew 28:20. And Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lo, I am with you always. We don't rejoice in that fact as much as we ought to. We don't rejoice in the fact that our children are with us, that our wife is with us, that our husband is with us, that our mother and daddy are with us. We don't rejoice enough in this fact. We don't realize that their presence is far more important than their possessions. And I think that's one of the great reminders that Christmas season ought to have for us. When it's all come and gone, brethren, your love for the family is not come and gone. Your Christ is not come and gone. The gifts, most of them won't even last until next year. But he will. They will, unless some tragedy strikes, and God forbid that. Thieves may break through and steal some of the gifts, but they can't steal your family's love one for the other. They can't do that. They can't take away your Christ from you. Then I want to close. You ought to be comforted by the fact as you walk out the door, Christ walks with you. As you sit in your car, Christ sits with you. As you sit at home rocking in the chair reading the paper, he sits there with you. Wherever you are, he's with you. You know, he's with you. I feel sorry for families that can't enjoy each other's presence. They have to always be away from each other. Now, how sad that must be. I want to read one closing section with you. Psalms 139, verses 1 and 7. O Lord, thou hast searched me. In other words, he's looking for you. You've known me. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows you better know yourself. And you know when I sit down and you know when I get up. I might add, he sits down and gets up with you. And you understand every thought I have. You compass my path and my lying down. You're always right there with me. You're acquainted with every one of my ways. There's not a word in my mouth that you don't hear. You've been behind me and before me and laid your hand upon me. This knowledge is wonderful for me. I cannot really understand why you should even care that much about me. Then let's look at verse 17 and 18. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You ever think about God thinking about you? What's he think? He thinks good thoughts, kind thoughts. I enjoy your presence. I'm satisfied just with you. Just with you. He accepts the gifts, but never as a substitute for the person. Never does. The Lord willing, and nothing changes this time next year, that I'll write my Christmas card before this time, so the three, I'll write my wife one too. And I'm going to try to do it every year. Whether they like them or don't like them. I think it's what Christmas is all about. And brethren, that present, when all the others are worn out and broken and put away and stacked away in the garage somewhere, those little old presents like that, they'll always be around because they represent a person, not a possession. Father, we give thee thanks this morning that you are here. We would not want it any other way. As we leave this church this morning, may we realize that it's the families that we live with. It's the people that are our loved ones. It's the people that we deal with day in and day out. That's so important. That's so crucial. That are here to bring us happiness and not the possessions. May we not get the two mixed up. And we do pray as we walk with you every day that you'll make us aware that you're with us. And make us aware that you enjoy it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.